Oh, thank you so much. It's bittersweet, really, you know, looking back at 2014 where we fell short, to come back in 2017 and to perform the way we did. I mean, you couldn't ask for anything more from the girls, so absolutely stoked.
No, and the other thing about it as well, just to point out, this morning, I mean, you got no pill in that first half. I mean, England were dominating you up front, as you well know. You scored that incredible try in the first half, but the way you responded in that second half, that is what makes, I'm sorry to use this cliche, but a champion team.
Yeah, you know, we knew that England were definitely going to come out, and they were very physical. But we also knew that there's 80 minutes, you know, in the game. So it was about making sure that we stuck to our game plan, making sure that we got the ball in the right areas of the field, and then start playing our footy. So in that first half, you know, we didn't execute the way we wanted to. But in that second half, you know, once we got the ball down the right areas, we managed to score some tries.
I've got to say to you, does it feel like this was absolutely the perfect World Cup for you guys in terms of the rugby you played, the style of rugby, the tries you scored, the intent, and again, the way you ground this final out today?
Yeah, I mean, credit to our management team. You know, they put in a lot of homework behind the scenes to make sure that come World Cup, we were in the best shape possible and with the best game plan. And I think if you look at the June series, a lot of girls had only played maybe one or two club games, so you could say that we were a bit rusty. But coming into this World Cup, you know, from pool game to pool game, we stepped up a notch. And, you know, come that semi-final, we knew that USA were going to be just as hard. So to come here and finish it off in the fashion that we wanted to, is awesome.
And the other thing about it, you go back to what the Seven side did back in Rio. You look at what you've done now to win this World Cup, regaining it, the World Cup you lost in 2014. This is another, and I mentioned this morning on Facebook, another massive boost for the women's game, another massive shot in the arm for the women's game in this country.
It is. You know, the women's game is growing in New Zealand, and to be able to bring the World Cup home where it belongs is just, you know, I guess another positive way for the women's game. So we know that we had a lot of support back home, and we had a lot of support that came over to Ireland, you know, and started watching our game. So we're very thankful, because, you know, if it wasn't for our family, we wouldn't be here. So to be able to put on a performance like we did, you know, it was awesome.
I need to ask you that. I had Farah Palmer, legend, on the program yesterday talking about the sacrifices you guys have meant. Now, it's not easy. Some of you guys have had to give up, you know, a couple of months of work. We know you still don't get all the professional add-ons that the blokes do here. I mean, what have those sacrifices been like for you guys? Because you're not professional yet, are you?
No, we're not professional at all. All the girls hold down full-time jobs, apart from those that are contracted to Seven. So, you know, it's definitely been a hard 3 years, you know, at times, you know, girls, yeah, like you said, have to take leave without pay. And so it's managing to get the balance right and, you know, to ensure that you can get the training and that's required. I mean, you look at England, who are professionals, you know, and we're not, but that's not an excuse that we were holding. It was just about how can we make sure we're in the best possible shape possible come World Cup, and we've done it.
At what point does it need to become professional in this country, i.e. at what point do you guys get given business travel? At what point do you get looked after? At what point does the women's game truly become on par with what the men are achieving?
Yeah, look, I mean, I don't know. I don't have those answers. I wish I did. But, I mean, we would love it if we got more support. But until we do, we've got to keep doing what we're doing, you know, now, because the Black Ferns have a huge legacy, and we don't want to let that slip. We want to keep building it, and we want to keep inspiring young girls to play rugby. So, you know, hopefully there may be a change in the years to come, but until that does happen, you know, we'll continue to play the game because it's what we love to do.
What do you think it is in terms of why the numbers of young women in this country continue to grow immensely in terms of rugby? What is it that all of a sudden this growth spurt that we're seeing is happening through the female side of the game?
Oh, I mean, I think, you know, when you look at these two options now, you've got Sevens, which goes to the Olympics and now Commonwealth, along with 15. I think there's opportunity in both codes for girls. And I think it's just getting more exposure through social media, you know, and even on TV, we're getting more coverage. And I think girls, you know, are seeing it and thinking, hey, I can, you know, I can inspire to be a Black Fern one day.
Yeah, and I'm not taking away the teams of the past, which won World Cups and were dominant, as I said, back in the legacy time of Dr. Farah Palmer. But the way you're playing the brand of rugby now, you can see that it's gone up a level. I'm talking about, you know, the professional element you speak about with England, the speed with which you play the game, the intent with which you play the game. Women's rugby is developing out of sight.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I guess, you know, we've got to give credit to our management. As I've looked at ways to expose, you know, our opposition. But to do that, it's important that we do the right training back in our provincial unions, you know, so that when we do come together, we're kind of ticking those boxes already. So, you know, there's a lot more that can be done. But I think that with the more games that you get under your belt, the better you become. And the more time you spend together, the better you gel. So, you know, I think this year's been really exciting. And we've seen, you know, you've actually, from June series to the World Cup, we've actually seen, you know, how lethal, I guess, not only the back line, but our forwards can be. I mean, I thought our forwards played outstanding, you know, in tonight's game, giving us good go-for ball. And, you know, they scored majority of the tries.
Look, I know from my Facebook page, Vici on Sport, in terms of what people are talking about. Now, I got up this morning, and I know a lot of people did because they were responding during the game to this. Now, the mainstream media coverage, as I said, on social, you mentioned this before. Have you noticed there is a sea change in the way that we are covering? Fans are acknowledging your game.
Yeah, look, you know, we've had a lot of messages all across New Zealand that have come in to us, not only just for the final, but throughout the World Cup. And, I mean, it's great to be acknowledged because normally you only get acknowledged when you're doing something wrong or when you're losing. So to get that support, you know, and people sharing it across Facebook, you know, Insta, Twitter and so forth is amazing. And I think the fact that they were covered, you know, on Sky Sport as well. A lot of girls have been getting up to watch those live. And we're very thankful for the support that we have.
And the final thing as well, thank you so much for your time. I know you got some celebrating to be done, but also I was sent a lot of photos this morning from, as you mentioned, the fan base that had turned up to Belfast, that had followed you guys. That crowd today was sensational.
It was, you know. It's not very often that we get big crowds like that to our games, but to know that a lot of the support was for us, I guess it just gives you goosebumps, you know. You just know that when you're on that field, you're fighting hard for one another and you want to give it your all. But to know that you've got the crowd behind you, it just, I guess, steps it up another level. So, look, we're very thankful for those that have travelled so far to come and support us. And, you know, we've done it for ourselves, but we've also done it for our family and friends and those that have helped the Black Ferns legacy.
I'll leave you with this. What have you got planned tonight? Clearly, Ireland's not a bad place to celebrate. What have you got planned?
Look, you know, obviously there's a lot of celebrating to be done, but we've got a function to go to, so we'll go to that. You know, that's something that we make sure that we take pride in the Black Ferns, you know, jersey. So we'll go represent the Black Ferns in New Zealand at the official function, and then it'll just be family and friends, you know, a bit of a get-together, and then we fly out tomorrow. So quick turnaround, but hey, an awesome feeling knowing that we're taking that cup home with us back to New Zealand.
I tell you, he'll be proud of you guys, a bloke called Sir Colin Meads.
Absolutely. And, you know, not only do we pay tribute to him tonight before we kicked off, but we also pay tribute to him in our semi-finals. So, you know, he's a legacy in himself and, you know, we wanted to honour and respect him.
It has been so lovely having you on the program. From all of us, and I say all New Zealand rugby fans, I just want to say to the team, congratulations.
Good night.
Thank you so much.